Would you bow your head with me for prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the blessed privilege you've given to us to be here throughout this week. Thank you, Lord, for kind of showing up and showing off in a blessed way, and the way that you've moved among us and what you did here at the altar for us last night, and believe that it's life-changing, and I pray it continues to be so. There was a lot of sowing that took place last night that I pray that some reaping will continue, and I believe that what we saw last night was some reaping of some sowing that's been done, and so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. So we pray, Lord, you'd help us as we continue to look at this, and may your Spirit speak to us in a continual way. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, to have your Bibles with you, turn with me Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary. Oh, boy, we need to hear that one this morning. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I'll give you just a little bit of a preview. Tonight, the Lord willing, we're going to be sharing the message. The final message will be from verse number 9, okay? And so, but before we get there, over the course of this week, we've been looking at this law of the harvest of sowing and reaping. We've looked at the contrary realms and the contrasting results. And now for the last few services, we've been looking at the consequences. We reap only what has been sown. Now, there was something that was brought to my attention by in the way of a question that was asked to me by someone yesterday. And it made me realize that maybe I needed to clarify something, because in this whole thinking, we reap only what has been sown. And I reminded us then that what we're reaping in our life, either we or someone before us has reaped, they've sown into our life and we're reaping that. And so maybe some of you have been struggling thinking about that, because apparently the individual asked me this question, and it's a good question. I'm glad that they asked me, because they had let me know that they've been going through some difficult times physically, and the aches and pains and medical problems and physical struggles and that. And so you think about reaping that sort of thing. And so maybe we're thinking, okay, what have I done? Lord, what did I sow into my life that causing me to reap this now? But I want to remind you, and we've also been reminded in the Bible study, that this problem goes far back. I called attention to the third and fourth generations. But can I share with you, we're also reaping something that goes way beyond the third and fourth generation. And we've been learning in the Bible studies, we go back to Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see about the fall of man in the garden. And so we need to understand that there's some of the stuff that we're reaping. You didn't sow it. Your mama didn't sow it, your daddy didn't sow it, grandma and grandpa didn't sow it, Adam and Eve sowed it. What we see, what we're experiencing in this world today, with the sin, the heartache, the heartbreak, the death and disease and all of that, the sin curse that's placed upon this earth and the things that we deal with because of the carnal nature is a result of what took place back in the Garden of Eden. So I hope that clears up. I seem to clarify it for the one that asked me. I hope it does for you. But anyway, so we reap only what has been sown. We reap the same thing that's been sown. We reap in a different season than we sow. And we reap more than we sow. This next one I'm going to share with you this morning may seem to go hand in hand, or you may even think that it's the same thing as reaping the same thing that we sow, but I hope I can share with you how it's different. And it's this: we reap proportionately to what we sow. We reap proportionately to what we sow. Let me explain it this way. Last October, I was in a revival meeting in Northwest Ohio. If you have never been to Northwest Ohio, it is totally different from Southeast Ohio, where I grew up. In Southeast Ohio, where I spent 62 years of my life, it is the hills. It's the foothills of the Appalachians, the Ohio River Valley, and it's a beautiful place. But Northwest Ohio, you think you're in a different world if you've grown up in Southeast Ohio, because Northwest Ohio is like if you've ever been on I-64 going through Indiana and Illinois. Flatland. And Northwest Ohio is that same way. It's a wonderful place to ride a bike, because it's all the roads are either straight that way or straight that way. And if you like riding a bike on flat surfaces, that's the place to go. It's almost the next thing to riding on a paved rails to trails, an old railroad bed. But anyway, so I was there. And in October, it's time for the harvest. And so there's a lot of farming goes on up there. And the two big things, in addition to grain, they had planted soybeans and corn. And apparently, I mean, farming is not just something you end up doing because you didn't go to school or you didn't finish school. Farmers today, many of them have a college degree in agriculture, and they need to know about computers and all of that stuff, and it's amazing to me. I don't have the education to be a farmer now. But anyway, and so all of the computerized and the tractors that run on GPS and computers. I was in Canada, and they took me to visit a farm in Ontario, that a dairy farm that is, they milk the cows robotically. That was fascinating. And so I could explain that. I won't take the time to go through that. But here in Northwest Ohio, it was time for them. They knew that the moisture was just right. The moisture content has to be so right to go through the combines properly. And apparently in their testing, the moisture content is good. And so they're taking in the crops. And as I'm driving from my hotel room to the church, the combines and the tractors and the 18-wheelers with the large trailers are in the fields, and they're running them all evening. On the way back to my hotel room from the service, it is dark. They've got floodlights, they've got headlights going, and the tractors and combines are still in the field. There is dust rolling everywhere because it's now dry, and they're taking in those fields. I found out that one of the farmers was attending the revival of this small country church. We were probably averaging 20-some people in the services. And so I got to talk to him about what's going on there. And I said, and I appreciated the fact that even though everybody else was taking in their crops, and he needed to do that, and he was doing that, but he took time out to come to revival. And so I talked to him after service about his farm, and he said, "Oh, I just got a small farm. I only have about 5,000 acres out." And he was referencing that as a small farm. Well, I said, "Well, what would you consider to be a big farm?" He said, "Oh, the fields that you're seeing when you're going back to the hotel, and those farms that they're taking in those crops, they got like 15,000 and 20,000 acres that they're doing." And I thought, I can't comprehend that. But here's the issue. When it comes to the harvest, he understood this. He's hoping for the ultimate that he can get from that 5,000 acres that he'd planted. He's hoping to get the maximum harvest from that 5,000 acres. But he knows this. There is no way he's going to harvest what those other farmers are harvesting. Why? Because they planted more. You cannot expect to get 15 or 20,000 acre yield when you only plant 5,000 acres. I'm going somewhere here. We reap in proportion to what we sow. If you sow 100 acres of wheat, you will not harvest what 1,000 acres can give you. You understand what? You see, that's not only positive, and it's also negative. And so I said all that to say this: we reap in proportion to what we sow. And so when it comes to sowing in the flesh, would you rather reap the things of the flesh of what you lived 10 years to the flesh? Or would you rather reap of to the flesh of what you've lived for the last 50 years in the flesh? When it comes to the things of the Spirit, would you rather reap what you have sown to the Spirit in 50 years, or only what you've reaped and you sown to the Spirit in the last 5 years? You see, you reap proportionally to what you sow. That's why what we saw happening last night, and not just last night, but what's going on throughout this camp with the children's ministry. We saw those children lined up here earlier in the week, and they were singing the songs for Jesus and the expressions on their face. And we saw the teens last night. And some of you, it's already been mentioned that there are generations now, that there are parents of the children, parents of the teens attending this camp, who at one time you were among those teens. You were part of the children's ministry. And so we can't stress enough how important it is that we get them to the Lord early in life. It used to be in our churches that we would think, oh, we better reach our teenagers before they graduate high school, because when they get out of high school, they'll go out into the world and sow their wild oats. And then there's no telling what the enemy will do to their life as they're sowing the wild oats. But I got news for us. If we are only thinking that way in our churches, we've already waited too long. It is too late, because we got to get them at a younger age now, because now the world is so influencing and the world is so impacting our children. And you look at television, and even when it comes to commercials, the indoctrination of the secular humanistic mindset of this secular world view. And if we're going to save our children, if we're going to see them give their life to the Lord, we're going to have to get them to the Lord much earlier. I don't know what's in the food that we're feeding our kids, but not only are they getting bigger and taller, I remember when I was their age. Not because I have a good memory, just wasn't that long ago. But I remember when I was a teenager, if I'm not mistaken, the average height of most boys when I was a teenager was like 5'9 or 5'10. And if you were a 6-foot guy, they were thinking about you being the center on the basketball team. Now 6 feet wouldn't even make you a short point guard. But anyway, 5'9 and 5'10 was about the average height. I didn't even make that. And now there are grade school kids that are taller than 5'9 and 5'10. There are kids that are just going into junior high that are well over 6 feet. And you think about not only are they getting taller like that, but they're developing earlier as well. And I don't know whether it's the hormones or the vitamins and minerals. Apparently they're eating something that I didn't eat when I was younger. But anyway, they're getting taller. They're getting bigger and more muscular, and they're maturing much earlier. So much so that some of our young kids, they never even had the stage of playing with G.I. Joes and Hot Wheels. Some of our girls never even had the stage of playing with Barbie dolls and dressing up. They've skipped that. They've gone right from being little children to where they're acting too so mature for their age. In fact, you know as well as I do that there are now 10, 11, and 12-year-old cases of 12-year-olds who are reported are being impregnated, which means that their bodies are already maturing enough that they can, that they're already able to conceive children. And the sad part of it is some of them are getting sexually active at that age. And if we don't reach them before then, the enemy's going to rack and ruin their lives before that. And so we reap proportionately to what we sow. And so what we need to say is, if you're going to sow to the flesh, let's reach them before they sow decades into the flesh. Let's reach them before it's 40 years of corruption that they have to deal with. And let's reach them early for the Lord. I don't know who it was that said it. I first thought Sister Carol may have said it, but she doesn't think she did. But either way, well, the other night someone referenced Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And I thought, oh, that's a message we need to get to these young people. Remember the Lord and remember the Creator now in the days of your youth. Because we reap proportionately to what we sow. I don't know about you, but I, when it comes to reaping corruption, oh Lord, help me to only, the least amount of years that we sow into that would be far better, amen? When it comes to sowing, when it comes to reaping the things of the Spirit, Lord, give us as many years as we can that we sow to the things of the Spirit. We reap proportionately to what has been sown. I've listened, I've appreciated the testimonies that we've heard. Last night, Brother Joe's testimony, amazing testimony to the grace and mercy, long-suffering forgiveness of God. Earlier in the Bible study, it's hard to believe that Brother Dave was ever anything like what he had shared, and thank the Lord for the influence, Angelo, on his life as well. But he shared with us the other night that when he got saved, that he went home and he got rid of the drugs and he poured the alcohol down the drain and that sort of thing. And I remember as a young convert, I remember even as a young adult in our churches, I'd hear people testify to how what the Lord had saved them from and how involved in this they were and what they were addicted to here and what enslaved them here. And I remember hearing their testimonies, and sometimes I remember thinking, oh, I felt like my testimony wasn't any good. I thought, I don't have a testimony like that. I can't say that, because I tell you what happened to me. When I was 12 years old, my aunt and uncle started taking me to church. They started taking me to the Wesleyan Church there in the little village of Crown City, which was about 19 miles from where I lived. And early, I gave my heart to Jesus. as a young teenager. And I had the best of my ability. I'd lived for the Lord in those teenage years. And God helped me. I didn't go out drinking with friends. I didn't go out to parties where there was drugs flowing and such like. And even though I grew up in a home where cigarettes were very prevalent, I grew up, my grandfather chewed tobacco as long as I knew him. He would pick me up sometimes on a Sunday morning and drive to the little country church they went to. And in the summertime, we'd have the windows down in the car, and he'd spit out his window, and it would come back in my window. It was horrible. It's disgusting. And I had enough of that and grew up with enough smoke. Then I determined I didn't want any part of tobacco stuff. It's bad enough. I also worked at a gas station when I was in college. And on Saturday mornings, we in our little town, they had the livestock auction. And on Saturday mornings, all the farmers would come from the farms and be going to the livestock auction, Brother Melvin, and they had their pickup trucks and hauling the livestock. And we had a full-service gas station. We cleaned the windows, and we pumped the gas for them and checked the oil and all of that thing. And one of the things I hated was many times those farmers would come in their pickup trucks, and the gas cap was right behind the driver's door there, and I would have to take that cap off, and they've been spitting tobacco all the while, and your hand would almost slide off the silly thing. It was so disgusting. Really makes you want to put a chew in your mouth, okay? But anyway. So I had seen that. I'd been around that. I'd seen what alcohol had done. My grandfathers had struggled with alcohol. My aunts and uncles had struggled with alcohol. I had cousins that struggled. There were so many addictive behaviors that ran in our family. And I'm so thankful that I gave my heart to Jesus early. My wife tells me I drink a lot of liquid. My liquid of preference is sweet tea. I love being down here in the South, okay? They don't make sweet tea like this up north. But anyway, but my wife says to me, it's a good thing you don't drink alcohol. You'd be a drunk. I'm thinking, yes, it is a good thing. Because there's a lot of drunks in our family. And I tell you what, I'm glad that the Lord saved me at a young age. And I thought, one of the things, this past summer, May the 25th, was 48 years since I graduated high school. I know, I don't look 48, but anyway, 48, well, at least my wife doesn't anyway, but 48 years since I graduated. I've learned more about my graduating class on Facebook than I knew while I was in high school. I didn't realize, Brother Mark, how out of touch and how unpopular I was in high school. Now, some of you may not believe this, but by nature, I'm very backward and timid and shy. To do what I'm doing, people that know me from a child, people that grew up with me, don't believe what I do. But anyway, it is so un-me. So I was so backward and timid and quiet, I didn't realize how unpopular and out of touch I was in school until I see things that they're posting on Facebook. They post pictures about senior skip day. I did not get that memo. They post pictures about a trip that they took to the beach. I didn't know anything about it. And my double first cousin that's like a sister to me was one of them in that group. And she never told me about that. I felt so deprived at looking at those pictures and hearing of the stories that they had done. But listen, I didn't feel deprived very long. I don't have a testimony to tell you, and I thank you for sharing your testimonies. I don't have a testimony like many of yours of what God delivered me from alcohol, how God delivered me from drugs, how God delivered me from the tobacco habit, which, by the way, took my brother's life. My baby brother had used snuff for years. And he was a West Virginia state trooper. Dipped snuff. He thought it was a safe alternative to smoking. And 4 months after he retired at the age of 50, They found a tumor in his jaw and a second one right beside it. And 2 months later, when they went to do the surgery, the cancer had already eaten his whole jawbone up. And 1 year exactly from the time they found the tumor, that I was preaching his funeral. I have pictures before and after of his graduation, of his retirement picture as a state trooper, a picture of health and strength. And I have also a picture of what just a few months later did, where he couldn't even hardly carry his own body weight around. Anyway, I don't have a testimony of what God delivered me from like that. But I do have a testimony that the grace of God kept me from it. I was saved at a young enough age. And Brother Mark, you were sharing that. I thought the difference between Brother Mark's and my testimony versus Brother Joe and Brother Dave's testimony, but it's the same thing. I think you, Brother Wayne, you were talking, it was you last night that was talking about how you got saved when you were young. But we were all equally lost and needed to be saved. Amen. But I'm glad that he saved me. It was the grace of God that kept me from that rather than needing to deliver me from that. And so, you see, my testimony is, yeah, I was lost and I needed to be saved. But getting saved as a teenager proportionately prevented me from reaping a lot of stuff that some of you have had to reap. I think about the stories and class reunion. I read some of the stuff that some of my classmates have gone through over these last 48 years since we graduated. Several of them haven't even made it this far because of life choices they've made. They've already died. Some of them, because of addictive behaviors and that, have shortened their lives. And some of them, because of sowing to the flesh. My wife and I celebrated our 46th anniversary last month, but I have several classmates who can't celebrate that because of sowing to the flesh. They may be divorced. They may be remarried and divorced several times. Their families may have been broken up or whatever. And I thank God that we were reminded that we reap proportionally to what we sow. So I want to tell these young people, give your heart to the Lord early. If you sow to the flesh, make sure that that is cut short, that you sow more to the Spirit than you do to the flesh. 2 weeks ago, I was in a camp meeting in central Pennsylvania. And there was a precious lady there that she'd been there before in the camp meeting, so I know her. She has a wonderful testimony. And she shared with me about her sister-in-law. And she said her sister-in-law despised her. Her sister-in-law spoke bad of her. Her sister-in-law did not like her. And she made it very well known that she didn't like her. And this lady continued to be nice to her sister-in-law, show her the grace of God and the such like. But she didn't like her. She couldn't win her over. But here's the ironic part of it is, this sister-in-law that was so mean to her had never given her heart to the Lord. And just about 2 weeks before the camp meeting, at the age of 86, she got saved. At the age of 86, she got saved. And one of the nights, here's another ironic part of it. This 86-year-old woman that had just gotten saved is blind and is no longer able to care for herself, and she needs a full-time caregiver. And guess who her full-time caregiver is? This sister-in-law that she despised and was mean to, and it was her that helped lead her to the Lord at the age of 86. And she brought her to church camp one night, and I got to talk to her. And she verified with me everything that the sister-in-law had said. Oh, I was mean to her. I didn't like her. I despised her. But, oh, I love her now. the Lord. I said, would you say that the only regret you have is that you just didn't give your heart to the Lord sooner? Can you imagine 86 years without God? I don't know how much longer she's going to live. 86 years of reaping a life of live to the flesh proportionately. Not at all. No wonder one songwriter said, wasted years, oh, how foolish. And I thought, oh, we reap proportionately to what we sow. So young people, young ladies, whatever days God gives you left, you do all you can to sow everything you can into the things of the Spirit. We want to reap the blessings. We want to reap eternal things. We want to reap spiritual things. And may what we're known by in the days now be the things we do in the Spirit. The things I shared, and I know the bell just rang. I thought about the individuals I've spoken about, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's sons, David, and the such like. I shared some of the things that they sowed to the flesh. But you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and you know what they're known for? They're known for the things that they sowed to the Spirit. All of us have a past. All of us have some negative things, perhaps. All of us have those things that we've sown to the flesh. But I'm glad that what we've sown to the flesh does not have to define who we are now. Amen. What we've sown to the flesh does not define who we are now. At the end of this thing, I want to be known by what I've sown to the Spirit. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we know that when it comes to the law of the harvest, we reap proportionately. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to be faithful to warn our children. Help us to be faithful to warn our young people. Give your heart early to the Lord. The grace of God can keep you from it. Yes, the grace of God can deliver you. The grace of God can break the chains of bondage, of addiction. But thank the Lord, the grace of God, you can give your life to Him early, that you don't have to be enslaved by those things. And so, Lord, may your Spirit help us. Whatever days we have left, to be determined that we're going to be identified by the things we sow to the Spirit. And Lord, may we do all we can that proportionately, may we sow more into the Spirit than we've ever sown to the flesh. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.